This is September 11th, 1985, in North Miami Beach. It'll be an interview with Jaime Bronstein, musician, Klezmer Band. Test. So I just wanted to start with a bit more about your training and background, other than what it has in the brochure here. And this more talks about sort of the bare bones of your training in various music schools and universities. But how did you actually get started playing music?
Okay, I tell you, when I was a kid, I always liked music. So I went to, I don't remember the age, and I think maybe I was 10 years old or 11 years old. And it was carnival time in Argentina, in Buenos Aires. So they have those big carnival festivities around with bands and music all the time. One day, there was a big band there playing with many instruments, just one clarinet. And I even didn't know what is the name of the instrument. And this guy was playing and I love it, the sound of it, you know. It was like many trumpets and trombones and tenors and altos, not just one clarinet. And this one clarinet, I love the sound. So when he finished playing, I went to the guy and I said, "What kind of instrument is this?" He said, "This is a clarinet." I said, "Okay, thank you very much." And I was looking. And then I went to weddings and things, and I was in love, you know, with the sound. Mm-hmm. He didn't play Jewish music, he just played, you know, all kinds of regular, you know, American music, Latin music, Brazilian music. So what I did, I went to a conservatory to study music. So I started when I was like 12 years old, I think. And I went there for 2 years, 2 or 3 years, I got some degree in music. So then I went to this Leo Feidman, who was one of the big klezmers in Argentina. His son is this guy, Giora Feidman, that he makes concerts all over the world. He's in the Philharmonic Orchestra in Israel. So I went to his house, I call him up and I say, you know, who I am.
And he was living in Buenos Aires.
He was living in Buenos Aires, yeah. And he said to me, "How old are you?" I say, you know, I'm now like 14 or 15. I already know the music more or less. And I was studying all day long, and, you know, music I was studying. No playing, just music. So he saw that I wanted to learn this instrument. And
so when you went to the conservatory, you weren't studying clarinet?
Just music. They want me to teach me piano, and I said, no, I'm not interested in the piano. I just want clarinet. And they didn't have clarinet there, just piano and, you know, all the music. So I studied there for 2-3 years. And then I went to this guy, Feidman, and I didn't have an instrument even. So he gave me one and he started to teach me. And I was reading music, so I started the instrument, and, you know, later on he went to concerts. He was working on the Teatro Colón. It was a big place for concerts. And he was in the Philharmonic Orchestra there. And I studied with him, like, also for 2 years.
So he was your first exposure to klezmer music?
Exactly.
Had you heard him playing in concerts before you went to introduce yourself to him?
Yes, I heard him playing in weddings and concerts. Yeah. He got a big band and many bands, and then he formed a band in with kids. So he just took like 80 kids and he did a big band with the kids. And so I studied with him. He was really one of the best. And his son was doing also radio, and he wasn't TV at this time, I don't think so. So I went to the radio many times to listen to the father and son, and there was another brother playing the flute. And I loved the music, and always listening to this kind of music. He wake me up, I don't know, something like that. And then he didn't have time for me because he was so busy. So his son Giora gave me many lessons, and then And then he sent me to another teacher to study, to keep on. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't have much time, so he referred me to another teacher.
When you were studying with them, mm-hmm. were you studying klezmer clarinet with
yes.
them, or just basic clarinet? Just,
no, basic clarinet. And then he gave me the numbers for klezmer. Mm-hmm. And then I pick up myself, because I was really practicing like 6 hours a day.
How much of that is written down, and how much of it is based on your knowledge of the style and what you improvise?
Okay.
In other words, when he gives you the numbers, is it just like...
He didn't give me written down. Sometimes, some of the numbers, yes, it was written down.
But with all the embellishments, or just the bare tune, and then you would...
No, just the tune. And then you have to do all those things around. Mm-hmm. You have to, you know. It wasn't really much written down. No. Mm-hmm. So then I remember the name of the other teacher, Italian teacher, Salvatore Finocchiaro. He was a very good teacher. And I went with him, you know, more deep, more stuff. And also for another 2 years. And then I went to the Academia de Jazz. I studied there for, I think, 1 year. And then a guy took me to Brazil to play in a nightclub. I didn't play klezmer music, just playing, you know, the music that mm-hmm. was there. And it was fun. You know, my type of music was the klezmer. And then in year 59, Feidman, he went to Israel. I was still working on myself. I took some musicians with me and started to work klezmer all around.
In South America?
In South America, I went to play to Brazil, and went to play to Uruguay many times. In Buenos Aires, we play a lot.
Would these be concerts, or would you be doing weddings?
No, just, you know, not really concerts. It wasn't at this time klezmer concerts. No, it was weddings. And those weddings, you play this klezmer music. Mm-hmm. Only weddings. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I went to Israel. I went to Israel in 62. 62, I bought a new clarinet in Europe. And then I bought a sax. And I started to work in Israel. Started to work for weddings. No concerts, though. Mm-hmm. Then I meet again.
Did you have another band that you put together in Israel?
Oh yes, sure. I put together a new band, and we went out to work. And then my teacher Feidman, as I used to give him jobs mm-hmm. to come with us, or I used to send them other places, because they, you know, I just, when they hear me in Israel, you know, they knew, you know, it was really nice. They liked the way I play. And everybody was coming to me, really. Many jobs.
And you said you were in Israel 12 years?
I was in Israel till 75. From 63 till 75. Play all the time.
All again, the time. Mostly weddings and...
Yeah, mostly weddings and shows. I made TV there a lot. TV shows.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we did TV and we did other kinds of shows, not with, you know, not through the broadcasting systems, you know, through the, you know, to other people, to agents and things. No, I never been out from Israel. Just for those 12 years, I was playing there all the time. Mm-hmm. I played for the army many times.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said to my family, let's go to the States. So I came to New York. I got some friends in New York, they picked me up, and I started working with bands right away. And always in this type of music.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this type of music is the way I feel it, so this is the way I play it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's klezmer, that's why they call it the soul music, Jewish soul music. So I feel it through my, you know, so I let those people, you know the way I feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, and they get the message, because many people came to me and they say, me mean, reminds them of, you know, the old people, they say, I didn't hear this music for a long time, and reminds them of when they used to live in Europe or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know. One day I was playing at the JCC last year in 84.
Here in Miami,
yeah, in the JCC, North Miami Beach.
Right.
2,500 people came there, and one lady came in a wheelchair, and the nurse was taking the lady to the, and I started to play, and you can see that in every corner you see people dancing, in the aisles, they were dancing. And this lady, I think that she just stand up and started not to dance, but she started to move. So the nurse came to me and she said to me, I don't know what you did. You did a miracle or something, because this lady never stands up. I know for 10 years.
Hmm.
Never.
That's
your
wonderful.
Music just pick her up. Yeah. I think it was in the newspaper or something. I don't remember. No, it was something really, for me it was something nice, you know, something, some experience, you know, because I saw it. I saw it, yeah.
Could you put into words what, you know, like if you're, what would distinguish a really fine klezmer clarinet player from someone who's just, you know, a decent player? In other words, what really makes a really good clarinet player? I know it's hard to talk about
it's
music in words.
Okay, it's playing klezmer music. Now, you can be a good musician, you have to be a good musician, because you improvise a lot. And you can be a good clarinet player, now, if you doesn't know the klezmer style. He, of course, he can listen and learn. I mean, it's many different ways to play the clarinet. You just can play, you know, straight, with you know, like staccato means that, you know, mm-hmm. you work a lot with your lips,
mm-hmm.
and you have to be really experienced about it. And I make more like legato, not staccato, you know,
mm-hmm.
this music mode, you know, you works a lot with you, with your mouth, and you know, my body and my soul goes really into that.
Right, with the feeling, with that.
Yeah.
But are there certain, like when you were learning the style, are there certain like scale patterns or certain trill types of trills or certain ornaments that are, you know, that are kind of the basic repertoire that you use, and then you put them together when you're improvising? I mean, that there's certain, I don't know if you call them formulas, but types of parts of scales or types of trills or types of ornaments that are used, and then it's how you put them together that makes...
Okay, if you mean to say like the piece is written down,
mm-hmm.
with all those...
No, it's not written with those.
No.
But those are what you learn.
Right.
Right. But when they're taught to you, are they...
Oh, no, really nobody show me how to. I just listen.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do it myself.
Mm-hmm. But do you have in your head, you probably don't break it down this way, but I'm just trying to ask if there's certain, like certain types of trills or certain types of ornaments that you would use playing klezmer that you wouldn't use playing, you know, regular jazz clarinet.
Of course, yeah,
right.
Sure.
Do they have names? Do they have...
No, I really don't know the names even.
Uh-huh.
No, I don't know, I don't have the...
So,
I don't know how they call it.
So when you were taught
these things, it's a whole thing, you know, it's working together with you blowing and your fingers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a style that you develop with time.
Mm-hmm. And did you learn to improvise when you had your jazz training at the academy? Is that where you really started to get some of the skill of improvising?
Yeah, I can say yes. Yeah, because they teach you, you know, they teach you all those scales and how to work on that and in any key that you play, so you can really improvise a lot.
Do you use that those same sort of skills then in doing the klezmer? In other words,
okay, some of them, yes. No, it's a different, really, or a different style.
Uh-huh. Are you still working within certain keys though, in certain scales when you're improvising
the
klezmer?
Oh yeah, sure. Because sometimes I do, you know, sometimes I have a trumpet with me and a trombone and we have fun and we do some Dixieland music, you know, and it comes out beautifully, you know. No klezmer, just Dixieland.
Uh-huh.
And it's related because the Dixieland, you know, I feel it too. And I, you know, we improvise a lot. And means that this is the way you feel, so the way, you know, you play, how to do it.
This is a real short reel.
Oh, it went fast.
This is a little one.
Oh.